Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I still have Cindy Phelan on the line with me. Cindy is the president at Create Possibilities. Cindy, are you there?
I sure am.
Great. And I thank you for continuing this conversation with me. The last episode, we talked about scenario planning for 2021 and getting boards and nonprofits ready to look at 2021. This time, I thought we'd take a few minutes to talk about accountability or the issue of accountability amongst boards and amongst nonprofit leaders. How do we start that conversation?
Oh, you know, it's accountability comes into play because you can have the best laid plans, best you have, could have prepared like a champ. But if we aren't asking ourselves, how are we going to hold ourselves accountable? We could lose focus quickly, right? So that's the key is in the beginning, as you're prepping for 2021 or whatever initiative it is that's on your radar right now, you've got to assign ownership and be very intentional about that. So understanding the role of the board and understanding the role of the staff is critical in this. I think that sometimes we forget that the board, the buck actually stops with the board, not with the CEO. But the board is responsible for the success of the organization. They're responsible for setting the direction of the organization. And sure, the staff is going to be, you know, recommending strategy and the details on the how to do it and the various tactics. And they're going to be the ones implementing a great portion of the planning and the preparation. But the board has to be involved in the conversation in setting the direction and getting consensus on strategy. Right. And then the thing that we don't want to forget is that the board is also responsible for ensuring that there are resources to be able to execute on the plan. So they've got to make sure there's enough people in the right places, enough money, enough equipment, facility, whatever it is that you need. That's the board's responsibility. And you know, what I hear a lot is that there's this weird relationship between boards and staff because the dynamic is such that the board is the boss of the staff, but typically the staff are the experts in the field. And so here are the staff trying to do this job and they need the board to lean in and do their job too. So my goodness, what that looks like sometimes can get a little bit dicey. So that's why I say from the beginning, talk to each other about roles and how we're going to hold each other accountable, actually ask the questions, especially because things are changing so quickly. It's so easy to lose focus. I've seen, you know, during this pandemic, I've seen CEOs keep the boards away at arm's length because they don't want them interrupting them and and bothering them as they're doing their great work. And then they struggle right, because they need board members to be ambassadors in community and raising money and thought being thought leaders alongside them and so forth. I've also seen where board members with the best intentions are leaning in so closely that they are trying to micromanage and second guess every decision when in fact, they need to allow the experts to do their work and focus on at a higher level to be effective. So, you know, talking about each other's roles, how you're going to work together is important, and assigning ownership up front on the various pieces of your plan is super important. So, you know, let's just say that that's happened, and on the finance side, staff are doing certain things and cutting expenses. And the fundraising is a big piece of what you need them to do. Or maybe advocacy is a big part of your scenario that you're executing currently. Well, we've got to support these board members and train them and equip them, right? If they've never been big fundraisers, you can't just say, go forth and prosper. We right. need to give them, you know, who are we trying to attract in terms of donors, and what is it that our messaging is going to say? Or if it's advocacy work, who do we need to connect with? Who do we need to influence and educate? Who are those electeds and what are we going to say? So that's part of it too, is once you've decided who's going to do what, then how do we support them, train them, and equip them, and agree on what the monitoring steps are going to be? You know, how are we going to hold ourselves accountable, and how often are we going to check in and say, okay, here was the plan. Here's what our goals were. Here's what we said we were going to do with these initiatives. How often are we going to check in? And it's interesting because it used to be back when things were normal. I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
It was okay to check in quarterly or twice a year on, you know, big initiatives. That's not the case anymore. You know, folks are checking in with each other monthly and saying, okay, board member, you said you were going to do A, B, and C. How's that going? Okay, staff, you know, you said you were going to do D, E, and F. How's that going? And what do we do when things go sideways? Well, that's where that scenario planning comes into play. There's no need to panic. It's okay, let's figure out what, you know, where we missed the mark and adjust this way because we've already talked about it. So this whole accountability thing shouldn't be overwhelming or scary. You know, staff shouldn't be afraid to hold board members accountable, because I often think about, you know, what if we viewed it, meaning holding board members accountable, as a leadership development opportunity?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. On top of all this, I'm hearing my internal frustrations with the issue of accountability altogether, especially having been on boards where you have this great board group of passionate people who are passionate about the cause, you know, great relationships with staff, and yet they say they will do things, or you say to the board that certain things get done, and yet it's difficult to assign tasks, or it's difficult to actually ascertain that things get done. And who really wants to be a slave driver anyway, right? I mean, I think to that end, what we are talking about is leadership. It's the agreement that you are going to deliver on the thing that you say you're going to do, and that's personal leadership towards the agreements that you made when you started serving on the board in the first place.
I couldn't agree more. I love that.
Yeah. So I mean, but then you know, I guess I am trying to play sort of devil's advocate here. Is that how do you then, you know, if you see a situation where there is that frustration where people simply don't deliver on the things that they're supposed to do, how do you hold people accountable?
Well, and keep in mind that they joined the board for a reason. So if we understand what motivates them, we're 10 steps ahead, right? If somebody is on the board because they have a personal story or super connected to your mission, then in conversations with that person, I'm going to connect their quote unquote work, their assignment, what they agreed to do, back to why it matters so much in terms of mission impact, right? If somebody else is there because they love the relationships and the mission matters, but working in a team is important to them, I'm going to have them involved in a task force, a committee, a something, so they can work together with others, right? But if they don't follow through, then it's a personal conversation. And here's the thing. Board members are responsible to the board president. So many times staff CEOs who work with boards think, oh my gosh, I've got to follow up with this board member. Actually, the first step is having a conversation with the board president and saying, you know, I know Joe, or I know this group, whatever the entity is, has the best intentions and they want to make this happen. But, you know, you might have noticed this isn't getting done and we really need to keep things moving forward. What are you seeing? How do you think we should handle it going forward? Would you be willing to pick up the phone and have a conversation with them to find out what it is that's blocking their success? It could be they're not equipped, that they don't have enough of information about something, right? Or they don't have the technology to do it, or whatever it might be. And it could be a simple fix, or it could be, you know what, Joe's not motivated anymore. He doesn't want to take the lead on that. That's okay. Good to know. It's our job as staff to facilitate their success.
Yeah.
Using peer influence whenever possible.
Right.
So knowing what motivates them, involving the board president, and having individual conversations, because you can, as a group, say, okay, remember, we're doing our check-in, and this is where we're supposed to be. Things go sideways. Trying to deal with it in a group situation isn't going to be nearly as effective. Right. Hone in on the, you know, the individual who might be challenged and see how you can support their success. And guess what? If they aren't interested anymore, you'll know soon enough to be able to get them out before and switch somebody else in that role before you get too far down the road and things aren't happening.
So it sounds like there's like multiple layers of leadership. Obviously the individual has to be a leader and to do the things that they said that they were going to do. But it sounds like also that the board chairs and the executive directors may simply have to regularly reach out and touch their board members with a phone call, with an email. It's still sort of an internal stewardship effort just to keep people on track with the task list. Is that too reductionistic? Do you think that's...
No, I think you're spot on. I think if you can help your board president and other staff even understand those three layers, there's the board as a whole, then there's the work teams within the board, and then there's the individuals, you'll be ahead of the game.
Got it. What do you think about, and this is sort of a loaded question because I have my own very strong opinion behind this question, is what do you think about board portals or board communications portals and things like that?
That is a little bit of a loaded question.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that I have mixed feelings about it because I've seen it just backfire badly, and I've seen it be effective, but I've seen it be effective less often, to be honest, because either the technology is cumbersome, or board members haven't been trained on how to use it, or it's in, you know, what's being, the information that's being used, it's not being updated, isn't enough, or it's not being updated frequently. It's just not what they need at the right time, right? Yeah. On the flip side, I've seen it work really well when you've got someone who's really managing it, when alerts are going out to board members that, hey, check this out, and you can then manage, you know, project management is a piece of it, so that there are real-time updates allowed. So, you know, it's one of those things, right? Invest well in it and it can work. And if you don't, it's going to be cumbersome and you'll turn your board members off and frustrate them. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say exactly the same thing. In fact, I'm kind of intrigued by the notion that you've seen a couple of them work well, maybe, because I have never seen a board portal. I've seen people get more traction just using plain old Google Docs than an actual third-party solution that's called a board portal.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering. So thank you for corroborating that.
Sure. And, you know, I think one of the last points I want to make about this accountability thing, and I mentioned it before in the other Snapcast, we forget, because we're just wired at humans to focus on what's not going well, yeah, which makes me nutso. We forget to celebrate what's going well. So in this accountability piece, let's all try to remember that we're monitoring progress. The reality is there's going to be more progress than there's going to be lack of progress. You're still moving forward. Acknowledge that. Celebrate effort, especially now, because there's so much negativity and there's so many challenges. Boy, oh boy, celebrate even the smallest of wins. You know, somebody's able to get a donor on a virtual call and have a conversation, celebrate that. Send out emails saying, hey, don't know if you heard, but here's three things that we're just going wild about. You know, did you know A, B, or C? And thanks to, you know, Joe and Susie for taking the lead on this. Continue to acknowledge and recognize, and every one of your staff and your volunteers will tell you, we're not in this to get recognized. Of course they're not. However, if we want to keep them inspired, let them know what's going well and how much you appreciate their work.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and you reminded me also that there are multiple ways to do that celebrating. It's not just an email. Sometimes it is a phone call, and it depends on the person. It's kind of like speaking their love language, to borrow a term from self-help, right? Because some people want the pizza party, and some people just want a pat on the back.
Absolutely. And some people get embarrassed if it's public, right? You know? So knowing your team is important.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy, excellent stuff as always. But once again, we've run out of time for this episode. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
The easiest way to do that is through my website, which is possibility-cp.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Cindy. I hope we get to do more of these in the future. In the meantime, thank you for making this recording with me today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us for the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your comments and feedback via the website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And if you have any questions about the consulting work that we do, please visit nonprofitsnapshot.org. That's nonprofitsnapshot, not to be confused with Nonprofit Snapcast. nonprofitsnapshot.org. Click on the consulting tab at the top of the screen and you'll see the list of things that we're currently doing in partnerships with consultants across the country. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.